Lord, I lift your name on high. For the English sermon tonight, let us open up our Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We'll be reading verse 5 and 6. For the media team, I'll be reading for the most part out of the English Standard Version tonight. So ESV for the most part. Some passages out of the New Living Translation. So, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Amen. I remember a while back when we purchased our house. We were really excited. We got the keys. And my wife was 4 weeks away from her due date to give birth to our little son, Jacob. We got the keys and we had some very ambitious plans for those 4 weeks. We wanted to remove two walls to remodel the entire kitchen and bathroom and to build a fence so that the kids cannot run into the pool. I already had all my tools and we got the keys and I got started right away. Took the first huge wall down in the living room and the only thing that was left was a fireplace. So I had the fireplace standing there connected with the gas line, and I called my advisor in many aspects of my life, my father-in-law, and I asked him, Paul, with what should I cut the gas line? Should I cut it with the grinder? And he's like, no, never cut a gas line with a grinder. Use the reciprocating saw. But look, I'm in Big Bear. I'm gonna come back, and if you want, just wait for me, and I'll come and help you. And I'm like, no, it's okay, I got it. So I went outside the house and turned the gas off where the inspector showed me when we were looking at the house initially. Little did I know at that time that that was actually the shutoff valve for the gas that goes to the pool. Then I went into the house and I said, I'm gonna start cutting the gas line on the bottom next to the fireplace, not in the attic first. So I started cutting the gas line and everything was good. No gas was coming out. What I did not notice is that there was a valve that would close the gas and I was cutting past that valve. So of course no gas was coming out. My wife was in the house, pregnant, 4 weeks, like I said, until due date approximately at that time. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to go up in the attic and I'm going to cut the gas line from up there. So I crawled through the entire attic to cut the gas line just right above the fireplace. And I start cutting with the reciprocating saw and I hear a loud swishing noise and gas comes out in huge amounts. As soon as I noticed, I started yelling to my wife and said, please go and shut off the gas. She yelled back to me, I don't know where to shut off the gas. Then I said, please give me something to stop this leak. She's like, I don't know. She ran around a few times and then she's like, get out of the attic. I'm like, but maybe you can find something. She's, get out of the attic. I need a father for my kid. And at that point, I got out super fast. And my wife was already standing outside. The gas was still going. The whole house was already smelling like gas. I was calling my father-in-law. He was driving down from Big Bear. He had no reception. And then I called a good friend, Robertina, FaceTimed him. And I said, man, I have a huge gas leak in my house right now. Please help me immediately. And he showed me where to shut off the gas. We shut up the gas, and thanks God, nothing happened. And that was the day when I learned as you should never lean on your own understanding. Should never lean on your own understanding, but I learned more. I learned that my hands, my God, my life was in God's hands. My life was in God's hands. And if I wouldn't have gotten that wise advice from my father-in-law, who knows what would have happened, because I might have gone up there with the grinder. So thanks God for that as well. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. Tonight, we want to talk a little bit about trust in God, which is also the title of my message, trust in God. Why is it important to trust? Why is trust so important? Well, because without trust, there is no healthy, loving relationship. I'm looking at you, young girls. Soon, with God's grace, I don't know if your parents agree, but eventually you're going to get married. And when you start getting in a relationship with someone, one of the very important things is to make sure that there is no red flags showing up. One of them is lies. If you see lies in your partner, if you see your partner lying to you, you know that you cannot build trust. And without trust, there is no lasting relationship, no healthy, loving, lasting relationship. Without trust, there is no true hope, true assurance, true guarantee. If your plumber reschedules you 3 times, I don't know how much hope you have that he's going to show up the 4th time. Right? The more someone fails to keep his word, the less trust you have that the person will come through. If the first time he says that his car broke down, the second time he says that his kid got sick, and the 3rd time he overslept, I don't know if you trust that he will show up the 4th time. Trust is important. Without it, we then don't have any healthy, like I said, loving relationship. We don't have hope, assurance, guarantee. We don't have faith. But let me ask you another question. What would you say is something that we should not trust in? What are the things that we should not put our trust in? And this is not a rhetorical question. I would like you to answer if you have the courage. Let's see, do we have someone saying something? Anything. Okay. We should not put our trust in the government. Okay, anything else? Yeah. Nothing, that's it? In man? Okay, yeah? Man, okay. So I got man and government, kind of like what I was expecting to hear. But see, it's interesting because, and the Bible says, you know, do not trust men. Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength. But let me ask you another question. Who drove to church in his car? Most of us, right? I don't know if someone's still walking to church here. So I think that there is some level of trust when you get in your car and you drive to church, knowing that, or you trust that the people know the traffic rules and they know how to drive their car and they're not going to drive into you, right? Because otherwise you would have been driving totally different. There is some level of trust, government. I think there is some level of trust in the government because otherwise you would be moving out tomorrow if you think that the government is going to go to war tomorrow. Or if you think that they're going to start being communists tomorrow, or who knows what. There is some level of trust, and this was actually what I was looking for. There is levels of trust. There is levels of trust. It's like you would be drawing a big, big circle. And when you draw a big, big circle, there is someone that you can put always outside of all your circles of trust. And that's not people, and that's not the government. But that is the devil. You cannot trust the devil, doesn't matter the circumstance, right? So the devil is outside of all your circles. But then the smaller the circles get, you see you have certain aspects, certain things, certain people, but then the circle gets smaller and smaller. And when you want to draw a really small circle, who's going to fit in there? Humanly speaking, you would say, someone would say this, well, you should never trust in anyone or anything that you cannot fully control. And a lady might say at this point, well, thanks God I'm married to my husband. Because then two of you fit in the circle, right? So the idea, humanly speaking, you would say the only person that fits in that trust circle, in the center of it, is you yourself. Because if you're a holistic human being, so if you're healthy, mentally, socially, emotionally, and so on, you could say you can trust yourself. But then the Bible comes, the wisdom of God comes and says, there is something better. There is someone better than you can trust. And that is our God. Because our God is perfect. Our God is all powerful. But then you might say, well, that's true, but I cannot fully control God. So then how do I know that the Lord is working in my best interest? And what I want to tell you tonight is that God is working in your best interest, even more than you yourself. Why? Because our God, besides the fact that He's perfect, besides the fact that He's all-powerful, our God is love. He's not just a loving God, He is love, says the Word of God in 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. Praise the Lord. Amen. The second reason why you should trust God is because God is omniscient. Psalm 147, verse 5. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is infinite. Or His understanding is beyond measure. You cannot measure His understanding. So therefore, you can trust the Lord. But if your God, and I might not be speaking to the people in this room, but maybe someone's listening online, is not perfect. If your God is not all-loving, if your God is not omniscient, if your God is not all-powerful, if your God is not righteous, if your God is not holy, then do me a favor and do not put your trust in that God. But if your God is Yahweh, if your God is the Lord our God, Lord Jesus Christ, then you do not have to fear. You do not have to doubt. You do not have to be anxious. You do not have to worry. You do not have to be depressed. You do not have to be hopeless. And you do not have to be faithless. Because our God is fully trustworthy. Our God is fully trustworthy. Amen. Praise the Lord our God. So the reason why we cannot share that space with our God is because we are corrupt human beings. We are not omniscient. We don't know what the future brings while God does. And we are in desperate need of God, although we might be holistic, healthy beings, mentally, emotionally, physically, socially healthy people. We are in desperate need of God. In Psalms chapter 13, verse 5, the Word of God says, but I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I have trusted in your steadfast love. You know, you can put your trust in God because His love is steadfast. He is always love. He has always been love. And if you look at your life and if you analyze your life, you know that the Lord has always come true. You know that the Lord has always been awesome. You know that the Lord was always there. Not because of your financial prosperity, not because of your promotion, not because of your accomplishments, not because of your accomplishments at the workplace, not because of your fame, maybe, if you're famous, but because the Lord loves you and because He saved you from your sins. That's the greatest gift that the Lord gave you. He gave you perfect peace. He gave you true rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, all whose thoughts are fixed on you, says the Lord. Trust in the Lord always, for the Lord God is the eternal rock. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, and then all whose thoughts are fixed on you. When your eyes, when your thoughts are fixed on Jesus Christ, then it doesn't matter how great the storm is. It doesn't matter how high the waves are, because the Lord will help you stay firm. But when you look anywhere else, you are gonna sink. It doesn't matter if you look at the guys in the boat, you will sink. It doesn't matter if you look at the wave, you will sink because the waves are high. When you start looking at yourself, you will sink. But if you look at Jesus Christ, if you have your eyes and thoughts fixed on Jesus, you will be able to stand firm. Praise His name. Amen. Don't we have a great God? What assurance, what a blessing to have a God like our God. Your God, our God, loves you. He loves us. He has plans for you. He has plans for you individually. He has plans for your family. He has plans for this church. There is things that He wants us to do. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, the Word of God says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." The Lord still has plans for us, Emmanuel. The Lord has plans for us, and He had plans for us. And someone might say tonight, "Well, I know that the Lord had plans for us, because I know that there was a time here when there used to be a curtain, and that curtain had to be opened because it was so full in here that people wouldn't fit. I know that God had a plan for us, but now there is a wall back there. I know that the Lord had a plan for us." And Peter could have said, "Lord Jesus, I know that you have plans." Acts chapter 1, 15, the apostles and then the people around them were 120 people gathering in the upper room. And Peter could have said to Jesus, "You know, Lord, I know that you had plans for us. I know that we could have done great things. You remember then when 5,000 men followed you, plus wives and children? What a crowd. What possibilities then. But now, we're 120 people. What great things can we do now? What do you mean by this promise? We will be witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Then maybe when we were 10,000 and over, but now we're 120. Lord, how is this possible? How is this possible?" What Peter didn't know is that God was about to do something great. But before that, Jesus had something to say. He had a command for them. What was the command? "Do not leave Jerusalem. Do not leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem and wait. Wait for the promise of the Father. Wait for the promise of the Father. But Jesus, you're ascending to heaven. And now you have these great plans for us. wait for the promise of the Father, because God was about to do something awesome, something great. He was about to send the Holy Spirit on every single one of them. And when you have the Spirit of God, then it doesn't matter that the Pharisees are trying to kill you. When you see that sick man, you go and out of your compassion and love for him, you heal him. When you're full of the Spirit of God, it doesn't matter what the Pharisees say. It doesn't matter how many people don't want to hear you preach anymore. You go and you preach full of confidence, knowing that the Lord is God and he has great things to do. And when you're full of the Holy Spirit, the God can use you in such an amazing way that out of 120 people, in one day you get to 3,120 people. Amen? Because it's all in God's hands. The word of God says in Acts chapter 2, verse 47, and the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. There's times when you need to be still and know that I am God, says the word of God in Psalm 46, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. And there's times when the Lord wants you to do something. There's times when the Lord wants you to act. So what are you supposed to do in that time frame when you wait? Are you just going to sit around? What did the people do, the 120? Pray, worship, praise the Lord, and love one another. And then pray, worship, praise the Lord, and love one another. And then pray, worship, praise the Lord, and love one another. And when you love one another, when you have the love of God in you, when the Lord sees the unity in the church, then he says, how should I not work in this church? How should I not manifest myself to them? How should I not make my name great among them? When the Lord sees the love you have for your brother and sister, the question is, do you have that love of God? Do you have that love of God in your life, in you, in your community, in your family? I do not know the times, verse 7. It's not for you to know times or seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. And I stand here witnessing that I do not know times. I do not know seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority. I do not know when and if that wall is going to come down again back there. But I know that if we love one another, I know that if we pray, I know that if we're consistent and we worship God and we follow him from the bottom of our hearts, the Lord will work. And if he's not going to work in this community, he's going to work in your family. If he's not going to work in your family, he's going to work in you. But he can work not just in you. He can work in your family and he can work in this community. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who trust in the Lord, Jeremiah 17:7, and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. You want to be that kind of Christian that always bears fruit? Then trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Why? Because Jesus has been always the same, yesterday, today, and forever, says the word of God in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Has the Lord ever failed you? I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. I sought the Lord, and he heard, and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. Think back, look at your life. When was the last time that you came with a prayer before God, a specific prayer, not God be with me today. And then at the end of the day, you say, praise God, the Lord answered my prayer, I'm still alive. No, I'm talking about a very specific prayer. When was the last time you had a specific prayer, you and God answered? God has blessed me this week by answering such a prayer. And it's just so awesome to see God working. It's so awesome to see the Holy Spirit working. It's awesome to see the assurance that God is alive and He's working in you. He's working in your family. It's such an amazing to have such a God. And this is why I can say, I want to follow Him. I want to worship Him. I want to praise my God. And if there is anyone here tonight who wants to do the same, I please ask you to stand. Because I want to sing a song with you together. And if you feel like singing it, you sing it. If you don't feel like it, then you just don't do it. But I want to state again to the Lord, my God, that I trust Him. And that's why I surrender my life to Him. All to Jesus I surrender all. To Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender. În Tine, Doamne, ne punem încrederea noastră. În Tine, Dumnezeul nostru sfânt. Aleluia.